Chapter 15. The pillars stood scattered across the face of the distant mountain, their pale shafts cropping out of the blue-gray slopes like cliffs. Their columns looked 100 stories tall, but the mysterious edifice they had been erected to support remained buried beneath a kilometer-high mound of silt. No road crossed the endless sweep of scrub-dotted plain that surrounded the Dust Mountain, and no craft could be seen streaking across the orange sky above it. And yet the pillars were the sole hint of civilization in the Rio system, in the whole Maruku sector. So this had to be the place. Reynar Thull eased the landspeeder forward. Though he had played an important part in several recent Jedi missions, he did not feel ready for this one. Master Skywalker had asked him to return to the Killik colony he had once led as the joiner Unu Thull. But Reynar had literally not been himself back then. He had been a wounded combat survivor who had allowed himself to become lost in the shared mind of a Killik hive, to become a joiner. It was an experience that had totally destroyed his sense of identity and left his mind a shattered wreck, and Reynar continued to feel tenuous and incomplete in his recovery. But now the Jedi were facing an enemy as enigmatic as she was powerful, and their only hope of survival was to coax some answers from the jumbled hive minds of the Killiks. Someone had to convince them to reveal everything they knew about the mysterious Celestials they had once served. And Reynar was the only Jedi who could do it. So he had accepted the assignment and promised to succeed, even if it meant losing the mind he had spent 8 long years trying to reassemble. As the landspeeder drew closer to the mountain of dust, Reynar saw that the giant pillars were decorated with reliefs of winged beasts and horned fiends. Twined around the feet of these figures were ropey shapes that might have been serpents or vines. Lobaka, 2¼ meters of Wookiee hunched in the front passenger seat with his knees in his chest, growled the opinion that the vines were a good sign.
"I quite disagree, Master Lobaka,"
C-3PO said, speaking from directly behind the Wookiee.
"In this context, the tendrils are symbols of inevitable destruction. If the ruins weren't so obviously deserted, I would suggest that we turn around immediately and erase them from our memory chips."
"I think Loey means that we're in the right place,"
Tekli said, sitting in the passenger seat behind Reynar. The furry little Chadra fan was probably the only one in the crowded landspeeder who was even remotely comfortable.
"The vines suggest that we've finally found a hive with a direct association to Abeloth. But the winged figures are something new. Is there a record of Ophidian grotesques appearing with other symbols?"
"Not in my databanks. And I have cached every available reference to the subject. In fact, I have available 2.3 million articles and 7.1 million images."
Obaka interrupted with an impatient rumble.
"No, I would not prefer to ride on the stowage cover. Do you have any idea what all that dust would do to my servo motors? I am not experiencing a problem with my vocabulator, Jedi Lobaka,"
C-3PO answered.
"And even if I were, I assure you that more dust would only make it worse."
Reynar chuckled, glad to have his friends along to keep his mind off his fears. Officially, Master Skywalker had assigned Tekli and Lobaka to the mission as its medic and technical officer. But Reynar was pretty sure their most important duty was to keep him sane. At least he hoped it was. C-3PO was on loan to serve as a translator, so it wouldn't be necessary for Reynar to risk becoming a joiner again to communicate with the Killiks. Whether it was part of Master Skywalker's plan or not, the droid had also acted as a constant annoyance and a diversion. The three Jedi had been living in close quarters for over a month now, and C-3PO had given them a handy place to redirect any irritation they felt with one another. It was a job at which the droid had never failed to excel.